Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Often, it's the bystander that gets the best view of a bun fight. Foreign exchange traders have largely stayed out of the recent bout of volatility on bond and stock markets, looking past fears about the return of the implications of inflation to the US. This week, investors were braced for a more violent reaction to the consumer price index for January. And while the data were stronger than expected and helped lift 10-year Treasury yields to four-year highs, the dollar stayed in the doldrums. I'm Michael Hunter, and in this week's edition of Hard Currency, I'm joined by Roger Hallam, currency chief investment strategist at JP Morgan Asset Management, to work out why dollar bulls are losing the battle. Welcome, sir. And shouldn't we be seeing the dollar coming up off these three-year lows with higher yields and an outlook for faster US rate rises?
Well, the US dollar has an imperfect relationship with relative yield spreads. Certainly in the post-financial crisis era, the dollar for large portions of that period was very closely correlated with relative yield spread developments. But if you look back in a longer history, actually the dollar only has a very loose relationship with yield spreads. And I think what is going on right now is that the prospect of large fiscal expansion in the US and running close to 5% deficits for the foreseeable future is serving to undermine the reserve currency status of the US dollar.
Okay, so it's as serious as that?
I think so. I mean, if you think that the US is going to be running 5% fiscal deficits, that fiscal stimulus is likely to lead to wider current account deficits, probably in the region of 3 to 3.5%. You know, so twin deficits, you know, 8.5, 9% of GDP, something of that order of magnitude. If you're a foreign investor in the States, I think two things need to happen for you to want to finance that deficit. Yield certainly needs to be higher to make it attractive to want to buy US, certainly fixed income assets. But also I think it's reasonable that you should require a currency discount to take on those risks.
And without those two factors which we have in place at the moment, the outlook there for the fiscal expansion in the US through the stimulus of government infrastructure spending will be significantly worse. So would you feel that the Trump administration will be pleased with this trading pattern that we've seen?
I think President Trump has trumpeted the strongest stock market, but I think this level of fiscal stimulus at a point where there is very limited spare capacity in the US economy, the Fed is likely to respond to that strength in demand we're going to see via higher interest rates. And we think we'll see four. The risks, I think, around 3 to 5 are probably to the upside of four hikes this year, with further hikes coming next year. And so it may well be the case that eventually equities take some fright from the prospects of higher interest rates.
And of course, so adding to the kind of uncertain feel that volatile trading pattern gave us, even if it didn't reach currencies so much, is the fact that after the tenure of Janet Yellen, we have a new chair of the Federal Reserve in Jay Powell. Does that help or does that hinder the situation for the dollar?
To be honest, I don't think that's a major driver of the movements we're seeing in the dollar. I'd expect to see more policy continuity under Powell. I don't think you're going to see a step change in reaction function from the Federal Reserve just because there's been a transition of leadership. I think there is a larger body of research which the Fed draws on. I expect more policy continuity, but I do also expect the Fed to transition in March to forecasting four hikes this year rather than three. But that's not due to the change in leadership. That's due to the what we're seeing in terms of global strength, the pickup in inflation, and also the additional fiscal stimulus that's come to the market's attention over the last week or so.
And so in some ways, the trading pattern that we've been talking about at the beginning of the programme this week is right, isn't it? I mean, that's what should be happening if that outlook is in place.
Yeah, we think the dollar is going to trend weaker versus the reserve currencies over the balance of this year. So certainly that's euro-dollar heading up towards 130 and possibly above. We think actually the renminbi can also be a beneficiary as it becomes more generally accepted, its reserve status becomes more generally accepted. So I think if you've got the euro rising and the renminbi rising, that will act sort of as a gravitational pull towards most currencies stronger versus the US dollar. The caveat being that with that, we also expect higher yields. And so the more yield-sensitive currencies, those that run highly or those of highly levered economies or significant current account deficits, such as the Turkish lira, the Philippines peso, we do expect them still to trade weaker versus the US dollar. But in general, yes, the dollar should be weaker.
And you mentioned $1.30 around a level that you're eyeing for the euro against the dollar. We're at 1.25 as the podcast is being recorded. That takes it up about 4% year to date, roughly. What were you saying for your year and forecasts earlier before this bout? Have you redrawn them? Are you still happy with that?
No, we thought that this year the euro dollar would end the 2018 between 125 and 130. Okay, so but we felt it would be a bit more of a tug of war this year as rate differentials pulled in one direction in a stronger dollar, but the structural imbalances pushed the dollar weaker over time. I think our conviction that actually that rate differentials will have less, we become be less of a driver for the dollar, certainly in the near term, has gone up. And as I say, we now more convicted in the higher end of that 125, 130 range, and may also we need to revise that a little higher, depending on exactly how the relative economic data develops and how the ECB's reaction function develops as well.
Gotcha. So there's some good levels to watch there on the euro, on the shared currency. Now the yen has been doing particularly well. Year-to-date gains of around 6%, or year-to-date strengthening around 6%, trading around 107 yen to the dollar. What's happening there, Roger?
Well, in an environment, the yen is a reserve currency.
Yeah.
And in an environment where the dollar is going down versus reserve currencies, obviously there will be downwards pressure on dollar yen to strengthen. I think also the yen, in spikes of volatility, and obviously we've seen volatility go up and we've seen stock markets come off some, the yen is typically does very well in those sorts of environments. And I think also we shouldn't forget that when you look at CFTC data, one of the largest speculative positions in the market, according to the CFTC data, was short yen, long dollars.
Okay.
So I think it's a combination of a risk wobble, a positioning washout, but I think also importantly, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that if you have a broader view that reserve currencies are going up versus the US dollar, the yen will benefit from that. Now, the yen also typically is highly correlated to yields and the risk environment. And so if you also think that in the short term, risk can recover a bit and yields will continue to press higher, I think that euro-yen should be rising in that environment.
Okay.
So the yen may well still do well against the dollar. It will just do slightly less well than the euro.
What do you think of the argument in the market at the moment that some of these moves are also to do with interest rate differentials in the outlook for other major central banks to catch the Federal Reserve's rate tightening cycle up?
I think it's very reasonable. That's part of why we had euro-dollar rising over the balance of this year. Even though we were expecting at the start of this year the Fed to do three, we still expected euro-dollar to rise this year. And I think that's because we had held a framework that actually the tapering of the ECB's QE purchases was going to be more powerful and worth more from, if you like, a monetary policy perspective than any of the rate rises we would see from the Federal Reserve. So that's exactly what drove us to have a higher euro-dollar forecast through this year. Now, the yen is obviously a bit more challenging in that because actually I don't expect the Bank of Japan to change its yield curve control framework at all this year. And again, that's one of the things that biases me towards a higher level of euro-yen, given that relative delta of monetary policy between the ECB and the Bank of Japan.
Interesting. Now, a quick look at the pound, I think. We've seen some buffeting around about the various twists and turns of Brexit. One person we spoke to this week off the record was calling Brexit a bit more of a brouhaha than anything else around the pound, with economic fundamentals around the UK economy helping it back around that $1.40 level around the late 80s in terms of its valuation in pence against the euro. Do you agree with that idea that we can start to look past some of the day-to-day Brexit twists and turns towards a strengthening or more resilient than expected UK economy?
Well, as it relates to the pound, I think you've got to look at it's certainly recovered against the dollar, but it's still at very weak levels versus the euro.
Yes.
Okay. Now, also, let's not forget, we have not left the European Union yet. And so none of the challenges of leaving the European Union have come home to roost from the UK's perspective. Now, it's also the case that the UK economy has done generally better than most people thought it would have done. But I think there are still big fundamental challenges for the UK still to face. The current account deficit the UK runs is still in around 5% of GDP. Look at the recent trade data, it's going to be back up there, you know, just slightly north of 5% of GDP probably for the fourth quarter. The trend in FDI into the UK has been weakening. And obviously we had a Japanese trade delegation in London only a couple of weeks ago warning very pointedly that unless we maintained good access to the European Union, the single markets, that they don't have to invest in the UK. So I still think the risks to the pound are very real from Brexit, and I don't think we have, as Barnier said himself, a transition agreement isn't given here. Now, if the broad trend in the dollar is weaker, as we suspect, I think it's going to be difficult to see cable sterling versus the dollar lower. But if the economic challenges for the UK around Brexit continue and actually the transition agreement looks more challenging to agree, then I still think there's further downside in the pound versus the euro.
And we have to keep a look at the pound against its nearest neighbour, of course. Roger Hallam, currency chief investment strategist at JP Morgan Asset Management, thank you very much for joining us on Hard Currency. With that, we're out of time. Roger Blitz will be back next week. In the meantime, you can keep up with all the latest Forex news and analysis at ft.com/markets and at FastFT.